presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
The saga of Cade Mays is one of the weirdest things I think that we've had come down the pipe here around Georgia in quite some time. I'll obviously get to that on today's show and do a lot on that. Let me begin, though, with Jake Fromm, and let me start it this way. I was surprised yesterday that Jake Fromm announced that he was entering the NFL draft instead of returning to school. Not surprised because I didn't view that as a legitimate option. We had talked in the days prior to this that it was a real choice for Fromm to make, and there might be an enticing reason for him to go to the NFL. Nor was I surprised that there wasn't any kind of, I guess, prediction out there, online chatter, as I like to say, that suggested this was a possibility. There was plenty of that, too. Ultimately, though, I just sort of thought Fromm would make a different decision. I thought when then he would look and see what was available to him in 2020, I thought that he might see that as too much to turn down. The chance to have a Georgia offense that was unquestionably his. Because after all, if you look at Fromm's tenure at Georgia, go back to 2017 for a moment. Fromm was a true freshman starter, but that offense in many ways belonged to Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel. That was their team, and Fromm was a part of it. The same thing kind of became true in 2018 and 2019. DeAndre Swift became the focal point of that Georgia offense. He was the most dynamic player in 2018, and he really became the vocal leader in 2019. When things weren't going well for the Georgia offense, he was the one that stepped up and spoke out about that. Sometimes that was with reporters, sometimes that was with outbursts on the field, but it was really Swift who became the vocal leader of Georgia's offense over the course of the last couple of years. I'm going to date myself with this reference, but it was really Swift who was in the Michael Jordan role, and it was really Jake Fromm who was in the quite capable Scottie Pippen role. But with Swift leaving for the NFL draft after 2019, 2020 was going to be the opportunity for Fromm to be the unquestioned alpha dog of the Georgia offense. And given everything that I have come to know about Jake Fromm, I thought that would be something that he would really, really want. Ultimately, though, it seems there may be something else that Jake Fromm wants. And honestly, that's his choice to make, and we're certainly wish him well as he makes that choice. But when a guy like Fromm leaves after a junior year, a quarterback who may be going to the NFL draft without any real sense of confidence that he'll be a first-round pick, when he leaves for less than that, I think it can be really easy to wonder what went wrong, because the sense that's out there in a moment like this is something did go wrong. The Fromm era ending sooner than maybe it was supposed to, and maybe in a slightly more bittersweet tone than any of us expected it to have when Fromm first emerged as a big deal for Georgia back during his freshman season of 2017. And there's a narrative that's already kind of coming out there on the internet that I feel like I've got to kind of speak out against and kind of push back against. Some of what I'm seeing out there is, well, the reason why Jake Fromm is leaving Georgia is because there was too much criticism, too much Twitter babble, too much message board junk, too much of that, and Fromm has decided he doesn't want to be at Georgia anymore because of that. Now, listen, I understand where this comes from. I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I spend a lot of time on message boards. I see the negativity that's out there, but even though I'm someone who enjoys both those mediums, I think I would probably acknowledge that those mediums in and of themselves are sometimes more negative than not by nature, that they're inherently more negativity than positivity when it comes to stuff like that. And if you're a person like Fromm who wants to step up and be a famous person, want to do something on a really big stage, I think part of the process of girding yourself for that is just knowing that the online junk is going to be what it is, and it's your job to block all that out and not pay attention to that. There's a guy I like. His name's John Acuff. He's written a bunch of books, and I've read them, and one line in particular that sticks out for me from Acuff is that for anyone who tries to do something artistically or on a public stage or whatever, there's this notion of the critic's math. And what Acuff says is 1,000 compliments plus one criticism equals one criticism. That for some reason in our minds, we just have a tendency to fixate on the negative, even when it's small compared to the positive, no matter how voluminous it might be, that criticism just sticks out more than anything else. And for a young person like Fromm, far younger than me, my guess is there's even greater chance that's probably true. And I think that the responsibility for the people around Fromm, the older folks, the folks that he trusts, I think the job job here is to help prepare him to block as much out of that as you possibly could. But when you go back and look at the events of 2019, there's at least one example that Kirby Smart may be the person closest to Fromm, at least in terms of proximity, if not in terms of the person he trusted the most. Instead of helping Fromm block out that noise and disregard that negativity, it seemed like Smart tried to use that negativity as a fuel. And that may have had a short-term benefit for UGA, but I think it had a long-term ramification for Fromm. Let me go back to the Florida game here for a moment. Now, you remember the timeline on all this. It started the month of November, a month that ended up being really good for Georgia, on the heels of an October that had not been good. Georgia had lost a game. Offense had kind of struggled a bit, but Georgia had a great moment in Jacksonville. They've had a few of those lately, by the way. Great moment in Jacksonville, and Jake Fromm was seemingly at the center of all of that. And yet, after the game, instead of using an opportunity as a moment to show unanimity among players, coaches, and fans, Kirby Smart, either intentionally or accidentally, seemed to drive a little bit of a wedge, pointing out some people who, I guess, Smart thought had been critical of Fromm. Here is what Kirby said at the time.
They were fired up today, and there were some tough ebbs and flows in that game. You know, their fans got back in it after the score. Our fans got back in it, but that's what it is. It's a hell of a rivalry game, and just proud of the support that our fans provided for us, even if they didn't think Jake could throw the ball.
Even if they didn't think Jake could throw the ball is what Smart says at the end of that clip there. And as I said before, that may have had a short-term benefit for UGA. The players rallied around that as an idea. Fromm himself may have focused his efforts against Florida. But the long-term ramification is it puts a little bit of a blemish on the Fromm era, because it seems there that Smart gave credence to the online minority. And make no mistake about this. No matter how vocal the Twitter stuff may have been or how vocal the message board stuff may have been, that was always the minority when it comes to the overall feeling of what Jake Fromm's time has been like at Georgia. The farther you get away from the message board stuff, the farther you get away from the Twitter stuff, the more you interact with real people in real life, the more likely I think it is that you leave the criticism behind. In real life, in flesh and blood, walk around, see what you see. Every 10-year-old boy I saw wanted to be Jake Fromm. Every 20-year-old girl I saw wanted to be near him. To say that he was anything less than overwhelmingly popular is a false narrative, either spread accidentally or deliberately. And in Smart's case here, the narrative of, well, Georgia fans don't think Fromm can throw the ball, it almost reeks as an attempt to deflect from what the real feelings of Georgia fans was this season and what the real issue facing Georgia is, which is an offensive coaching staff that doesn't seem to be able to match the competency that the Georgia defensive coaching staff has kind of brought to bear over the course of these last couple of years. Because in the wake of Jake Fromm leaving, and by the way, he's not the only one to leave Georgia to move on to the NFL, try his hand there with less than certain draft prospects. Is what Fromm doing this year, is it all that much different than what guys like Riley Ridley and Isaac Nodden and Elijah Holyfield did last year, deciding that any chance of the NFL may be better than what is left for me here at Georgia? See, ultimately, this is the big question that Georgia has to face. And Kirby Smart, as the leader of this organization, needs to be the one that faces this question head on. Is Georgia the kind of program, I mean specifically on the offensive side of the ball for a moment, is Georgia the kind of program that players with options want to be a part of? And sometimes those options may be elite recruits, five-star this or five-star that. Given the choice of going anywhere, is Georgia the place they want to be? Is this the kind of offense they want to play in? And the same thing is true for impressive juniors who could try their hand at the NFL. Is Georgia the kind of program they want to be a part of? Is the Georgia offense in particular the kind of offense that players with options want to sign up to be a part of? That's the thing that Smart needs to address. Now, one more quick point on this, going back to Jake Fromm for a moment. I mentioned before that there's a nature of what goes down with Fromm that's somewhat bittersweet. Let me show you, for those of you watching on video, the farewell that he put out on social media yesterday. I thought this was incredibly well written and incredibly classy. And there was one line in particular that sort of stood out to me more than anything else. Fromm, at some point in this piece here, kind of mentions the good times and the bad. And no doubt for anybody who does anything for 3 years, there's going to be a collection of good times and bad. And on the off chance if Jake Fromm were watching me right now or listening to me right now, here's the one thing I would say to him. I am far older than Jake is. I'll turn 43 in February. Jake is literally almost young enough to be my son. And there are a lot of things about getting older that are just not very fun. I'd give anything to be as, you know, young and cool looking as Jake Fromm is. Getting older kind of sucks in some regards. But there's one thing about getting older that I think really is kind of cool. That the older you get, and I don't really quite understand this. Maybe this is just the impact of nostalgia or whatever. But the older you get, and I've now lived more than 4 decades, the older you get, the bad memories just sort of fade. And the good memories just kind of become more prominent. And I think for Jake Fromm, it'll be the same way. If he sees a collection of good and bad moments in his Georgia career in the midst of having just completed that, the more he lives, the more time passes, the more I think whatever bad moment that may be prominent in his mind right now, it'll just sort of dissolve. And I think he will be left with what so many of us are left with. Great happy memories of South Bend in 2017, of Pasadena at the end of that season, of a winning streak in Jacksonville against the Florida Gators, and many other rivalry wins in addition to that. Yes, Fromm is correct to say it was good and bad, but as time passes, it'll be the good we remember most. And for Jake Fromm's career, I think that's a really good thing. And I, for one, am happy to enjoy some of those memories as we say goodbye to him here today. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Presented today by Merriweather and Tharp. Good to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And as I said before, Merriweather and Tharp brings it to you, your source for Georgia divorce. And I know, y'all, divorce can be a rough thing to talk about. It can be a rough thing to go through if you find yourself in that as we begin 2020. First of all, my prayers are with you. I'm so sorry for you on that. And I can also, I think, offer you some advice that your process will be better and your end result will be happier when you have an advocate on your side. That's why I invite you to reach out to my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. As I said before, they are your source for Georgia divorce. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. They also provide you a ton of free resources like podcasts and blog posts and things that will sort of set you up to ask the right questions when you meet with them the first time. So find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. We have a very busy show to come. As I said before, a lot on the weird Cade May stuff, and it is weird, and I don't really know, quite know how to say it all, but we'll talk about it here coming up in just a bit. We also have a special guest coming up in a moment as well. David Green, who knows what it's like to be a high-profile quarterback at Georgia, who knows what it's like to kind of try his hand at the NFL. He will talk to us about all the things that he thinks that Jake Fromm is likely going through, and he'll address the difficult challenge awaiting Georgia in terms of replacing Fromm at the quarterback position. We'll do that with the former UGA quarterback here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse. And in the wake of Jake Fromm leaving, there are two things that I believe I know for sure right now. And, you know, I've been kind of wrestling with this and kind of trying to decide, you know, not just as an analyst, but someone who obviously, you know, roots for Georgia, hopes for the best for Georgia. Like, what do I want to see Georgia do now that Fromm is leaving? And I think it kind of comes down to two things for me. First of all, I've got great respect for the quarterbacks on campus for Georgia. I've had a chance to speak to Stetson Bennett. He really brings a little bit of a moxie with the way that he talks. I think that Carson Beck is an impressive incoming freshman. Certainly Jeff Centell has written plenty about him that make you like Beck as a player. I think that Dwan Mathis deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's gone about everything that he's been through so far at Georgia, and I think the best is still yet to come for him as a player. I like all three of the guys that Georgia currently has, and yet when you think about the best for Georgia in 2020, I don't think you arrive at your best quarterback option unless you give a long look to a graduate transfer, someone who's got experience playing somewhere else, who comes in and provides that opportunity for Georgia to potentially lean on that experience in the game. Now, if one of the younger guys or less experienced guys beats him out, then albeit, but I think the best for Georgia obviously includes a graduate transfer. I think there are a ton of potential options, but when you sort of factor in the realistic nature of some pursuits and the likelihood of success for others, I think the name that I keep coming back to, as to the extent that my endorsement means anything, I believe that Jamie Newman, the quarterback who's leaving Wake Forest, would be the guy that I would hope that Georgia goes out and gets. Because I think in the aftermath of Fromm, you know, like a palate cleanser here, I think the chance to do something a little different for an offense for a year, just kind of see how that goes, I think that Newman might provide that. In addition to, you know, being a fairly accomplished thrower, at least in some games, has kind of proven himself to be a runner there as well, more than 500 yards rushing for Wake Forest. Forest. This is also a guy that got a pretty interesting endorsement from David Pollock on Twitter. I think we have that to show to the video on it, so I'll read it to everybody else. Cam Meller from Pro Football Focus was kind of raving about Newman. And Pollock says, amen, dude's a stud. This is Pollock on Twitter. Size, athletic ability to go with a great arm, accuracy, and a phenomenal deep ball. Not many guys more talented in the country. And I think that David Pollock's words here mean something to me. So there are a lot of potential options for Georgia, and I think there's more than one right answer here potentially. But when I think about the guy that probably fits Georgia's need the quickest and maybe the most immediate chance of both securing him as a transfer and then having success with him if he showed up, for some reason Newman kind of feels like that guy for me. So I guess I'll cast the first of many ballots on this and invite many of you to weigh in as well, either on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, in our comment section on video, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We'll give you a chance to talk about all of that. No doubt there'll be no shortage of opinions as we roll through this process over the course of the next couple of weeks. I've got more coming up on the Cade Mays situation. For now, though, on the end of the Fromm era and what happens next for Georgia quarterback, let's talk to a guy who knows that position so well. It's former UGA quarterback David Green. And it's a real thrill to have David Green back here on Dog Nation Daily. A, I love David's insight on UGA. He, in addition to being a former great player, continues to be a big advocate for the program and a big fan of the team. And obviously today, it's a little more appropriate than maybe other days, just because if anybody knows a little bit of like what Jake Fromm's going through right now, I think that David Green has lived that life and kind of been in that spot, and he can certainly talk to us about that. So, David, welcome back here to Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. It's great to get a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon, you doing good, buddy?
I am doing really well. Happy New Year to you. And obviously, this is a day in which Georgia fans, I think, have some complicated feelings. I think many of them thought they would get another year for Jake Fromm, and I think many of them have some very happy memories for what Fromm was able to do in a Georgia uniform, but maybe a little bit confused of why it's ending now and kind of where Fromm goes from here with, I guess, less than certain draft prospects here. So let me begin with an open-ended question that you can take anywhere you want to go. How will you remember the Jake Fromm era at Georgia?
Well, I look at, you know, look, Jake was a phenomenal quarterback. When I think of Jake, I think we were fortunate enough as Georgia fans that we had a guy that acted like a pro but was actually an amateur at the time, right? He prepared like a pro. Everything he said, his attitude during very, very tough circumstances at time, he typically always saw the positive. You can tell he never lost faith or lost confidence in himself or his team, or if he did, you didn't know it. And so he's a tremendous leader, represented the university great, was a great quarterback for us, played well enough as a true freshman. You know, that was best team, you know, we've had in a long time, and he played well enough as a true freshman for us to win a national championship his true freshman year. He really did. And, you know, it's always tough, you know, to see a guy as good as he's been for us. Obviously, there was a lot of uphill challenges on offense for us this year, and you hate to see a guy go out. He obviously had a tremendous bowl game. You know, just the way the season ended with our offense sputtering like it was, you know, ending with the SEC championship. You hate to see such a good player like that, who's so talented, not have the success. But we obviously know anybody that watched the game, it wasn't like guys were running open. It just seemed like it was very difficult from a personnel standpoint. He didn't have a whole lot to work with. But I think from a scheme standpoint as well, you know, we didn't – it was just a tough – it was tough to get any yards this year. And hate to see him leave, because you want to see, you know, the guys – when you want to see them go pro, and you want to make sure that they're you're playing at a high level and having a ton of success. And he had a successful year. There's no question about it. But with as talented as he is – yeah, you'd like to see him go out, you know, with a little more success throughout this junior year.
When you played at Georgia, David, you were a record-setting quarterback, and I mean that in the literal sense. You won an SEC championship. You were winning games at a clip that really no one in the NCAA could match. All kinds of accolades attached to your name, and yet I'm guessing if I ask you what that felt like, I'm guessing it didn't feel like unanimous praise all the time from fans. There was no Twitter back then, but there were message boards. And you lived for 4 years as the Georgia starter in the pressure cooker of really perfection, unfortunately, is the only standard for fans, because they love college football so much. They love UGA so much. Sometimes it kind of bubbles to the surface as an intensity that expectations just can't be matched. What was it like living through that? And for those of us who have no idea what it's been like to be Jake Fromm these last 3 years, can you just kind of speak to what it feels like to be, in a lot of ways, the most recognizable figure in the state of Georgia, quarterback for UGA?
Well, I'll say this, Brent. It's a tremendous time. Look, I'd always, I grew up in Gwinnett County and have an opportunity to play at the University of Georgia and start for 4 years. I mean, just an incredible feeling. Does it come with a tremendous amount of stress at times? Absolutely, because everything seems like it's the end of the world, that's coming. And when you have the greatest fan base in the country, because people are so passionate about their dogs, the flip side is when things don't go well, normally it's that, you get the passion on that side as well. So you got to take it both ways. And look, as a player, you got to take it in stride. Now, I will say this. I think the reason Jake's leaving is he's done this for 3 years. I think at this point, this year he certainly felt like a coach on the field. There's no question about it. If he were to stick around and, and come back next year, he almost might feel like a granddad, to some of the players. I mean, he knows he's done it 3 years. He knows where he's at. He probably knows what he needs to work on. I think he's just looking for the next challenge and going to the pros. And so, I'm excited for him. I'm grateful that he was here. We were very fortunate that that he was our quarterback under center because, like I said, he was very capable. We were very capable of winning a national championship with him each and every year. But as we know, it's a team game. You got to have all the components around him and together to be able to pull it off.
So another thing that kind of makes you a little similar to Fromm is that when you left Georgia, now you left after your senior season, or it would have been a redshirt senior season for you, but you were a third-round pick, number 85 overall to the Seattle Seahawks. We don't know where Fromm is going to get drafted, but that's probably within a standard deviation or so of where Fromm is likely to go. And so I guess would you mind kind of talking about your own draft process after having so much success at the college level, and every time you turn on the TV, the Vern Lundquists or Lee Corsos are talking about how great you are, and then you get into a draft process where all of a sudden now people are poking and prodding and kicking the tires, and obviously it's the highest league that there is, and it's a real challenge. What was it like for you making that transition to the NFL?
Well, what was interesting for me is I had never really dreamed of doing the NFL thing. I'd always, as a kid here in the South, my dream was playing college football. I mean, that to me was like the epitome. And I think even Joe Burrow mentioned that as well. His big dream was always to play college. That's where, his heart was and his passion. I think Jake had mentioned too, is sometime down the, this year that, he really didn't watch a whole lot of pro football. He loves watching the college game. And so, for me, I was kind of living out my dream when I was at Georgia. And of course, I knew the NFL was the next step, and I was wanting to accept that challenge. It's a different game. It's got a whole different feel, than what it is in college. When you're in college, you got your draft class, and you still feel like it's you and your buddies against, some other team. When you get into the pros, it's a different deal. It's a much more of a business. The odd part about it, Brandon, is, people don't think about it, but the ones that you're around the most, so like if you're a quarterback, you're around the quarterbacks in the quarterback room the whole time. You're around people that really don't want to see you be successful, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're coming in and you're doing well, then they're not going to have a job. And so it's a weird dynamic a little bit, because you can, you certainly make buddies, but you're, but it's a weird process, because one of you is going to get left behind here, and who's it going to be? And it's very different, because now, some people are married, have families.
Sure.
It's not like, well, am I starting in college? It's, you don't have a job anymore, and, you got to go find some employment somewhere else. So it's a different culture, different ball of wax. Jake loves football. I think he's going to do fine. He works extremely hard, prepares like a pro. So I think he'll do fine.
So I won't, as we close out our conversation, ask you to give me a detailed film breakdown of every graduate transfer quarterback Georgia could consider, because that's seemingly a long list and it may be a bit of a ponderous list. But I will ask you this way, as we kind of look to what's next for Georgia quarterback. You had the benefit of being on campus at Georgia for a year before becoming the starter. Now, there was a changeover in coaching staff in between that time, but nonetheless, you just kind of lived the college life for a year. There's a chance that Georgia may have to make a choice to go with a guy that, you know, if it's Carson Beck, he hasn't been on college campus. Or if it's a graduate transfer, that's a guy who hasn't been at Georgia. He's played, but played somewhere else. Other guys, you know, have you know, kind of been at Georgia and had the benefit of maybe being through the same offense. When you think about all this kind of stuff in your mind, what do you think matters more? Experience on a field, which a graduate transfer would have had, experience at Georgia, which guys like Dwan Mathis and Stetson Bennett might have, or, you know, could a guy like, you know, Beck follow in the footsteps of what Jake Fromm did and become a true freshman starter at quarterback? How do you handicap the value of experience and what Georgia's about to go through here?
Well, it's a good question. Brandon, I think we're fine. I don't think the experience matters quite as much anymore, because so many of these young kids are well-trained and prepared for the moment. I mean, it's amazing how you can see a guy like Justin Fields, you know, just step right into Ohio State and take him as far as he did. Same thing with Jalen Hurts. What I think it's important, I do like the idea, you know, some of these, you know, one of these kids in the transfer portal getting someone that transfers from another team, because they've already kind of got an idea of the speed of the game, what they're up against. Very difficult for a kid that's a true freshman coming in from high school and being able to adapt on the Georgia team and leader. That's one of the things that impressed me so much about Fromm, because it was, to me, one of the biggest difficulties, you know, going from high school to college was the speed of the game and how Jake picked it up as fast as he did. So can it be done? There's no question. He almost led to a national championship as a true freshman. That's a very tall task. There's not many quarterbacks that can do that. I would be looking, if I'm Kirby, across the country, you know, some really talented kid, kind of like a Justin Fields, who was one of the top-rated kids but was behind someone.
Yeah.
You know, because as we've seen, there's been a lot of really talented players that have left schools and came to another one. And you think, I mean, Georgia's is the perfect fit for a really, really young, talented quarterback. It doesn't like the situation he's in, because you know he's coming into a program that's had as much success as Georgia's had. It could be a really good thing.
David, it is a real pleasure to get a chance to talk to you. I love your insight on the Georgia quarterback situation. We know how much you care about that subject, obviously having been a very good quarterback and also still a big fan of the Dogs. It's a real honor to get a chance to talk to you here today. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. Have a good one, buddy.
Good stuff there from a Georgia quarterback, David Green. Let me kind of follow up on this when it comes to the transfer stuff. You heard me say a moment ago that I guess right now, I guess I'm kind of casting my lot with Jamie Newman as the graduate transfer from Wake Forest. There are a couple of reasons I feel that way. You know, when it comes to Derrick King, I kind of view King, for whatever reason, as the top prospect potentially available, even though I guess the asterisk is he's not technically in the transfer portal. But if he were to go in the transfer portal, I sort of view him as the top potential prospect available. And I'm basing a lot of that on what he did in, I guess it would have been 2018, working with Major Applewhite, more so than what he did before taking the red shirt here in 2019. And to go back to what I said to start the program, is Georgia the kind of offense that players with options want to be a part of? Unfortunately, I believe if King truly is the top option, he will choose and have the opportunity to maybe choose an offense that right now that just looks more dynamic than Georgia. Georgia's got a little bit of a reputation issue it needs to enhance. It's got a little bit of a branding issue it's got to address. And that may be an issue if it wants a guy like Derrick King. King may just find out that there's somewhere else better he wants to go. I also at some point in time thought I might really like the quarterback from Stanford, KJ Costello, a guy that I've actually seen play on television probably more so than any of these others. And when I saw him, he looked really good. I guess the problem, though, is based on some of the reporting that I've read, it sounds like he wouldn't be able to arrive at Georgia until the summer. That's a little bit of a red flag for me. And he's had some injury issues, including a couple of concussions, and either fairly or not, that's something that would also cause me a little bit of concern for him. So if we're talking graduate transfer, it's a guy like Newman that I really kind of land on here. And then one more point about the future of Georgia quarterbacks in the wake of all of this, if you want to start looking at it 2021 as well, Here is where I'm going to be a little bit risk averse. And I've said this before. Sometimes I wish Kirby Smart was a little bit more aggressive on the field, a little bit more conservative in recruiting. I think the 2021 cycle is an example of where I think it's time to take a win where I think you can get one. Brock Vandegrift, the 2021 quarterback from the Athens area, has recently decommitted from Oklahoma, citing geography as one of the reasons why he wasn't comfortable being in Norman. I think if you can take that recruiting win, I think that you get it. I think you go out and get it and you declare victory with a very impressive quarterback for the 2021 class in Vandegrift. That would obviously mean sort of waving the white flag on Caleb Williams, who's one of the more dazzling prospects that I've seen in quite some time. I think that his high school stuff from up in that Beltway area is really fun to watch, but I think that's a very challenging recruitment for Georgia, and I think at this point in time, Georgia can't afford to get a silver or a bronze medal in a really challenging recruitment. It needs to put all its eggs in a basket of someone that can win, and if you can't win with Brock Vandegrift, then you've got some real trouble, just given how close he is to your campus. So that's what I would do. I would go to Newman for 2020 if you can get him, and I would enjoy a little bit different kind of offense for a year. And at that point in time, I would hope for good news with Brock Vandegrift and sort of rebuild my offense with a competition that includes him and a year older version of DeJuan Mathis and a year older version of Carson Beck, and I guess presumably a little bit more of Stetson Bennett there as well. That would be my recipe for the future of Georgia at the quarterback position. But one way or another, the responsibility for making Georgia's offense better doesn't rest with the transfer quarterback you bring in or a 2021 guy that you sign or anybody who's currently on campus right now. The responsibility for all of this rests on the coaches who are making the millions of dollars to make the right quarterback choices first, but to set them up to succeed may be more important than anything else. And so that's where the spotlight's going to be, where it should be in the months to come. As Georgia sort of puts together a quarterback competition, is the winner of that competition going to inherit an offense that's designed to set guys up to succeed? It's time to start asking that question more emphatically, and it's time for Kirby Smart to provide a quality and satisfactory answer to that. That's a big part of the story here in 2020.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
And as we transition here to cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean, we will do so with most of the attention here on Cade Mays. The big story for both the SEC and the University of Georgia kind of centers around Knoxville, Tennessee right now. And as we do that, let me remind you that after a day like yesterday, I think a lot of us now maybe need a vacation more so than ever before, and there's no more bold vacation choice than what our friends at Royal Caribbean provide. And a lot of that's due to what you find on the ships. Entertainment like really nobody else, dazzling full-scale productions, Tony Award-winning Broadway musicals, ice skating shows, dive shows, performance drones, and on those Oasis-class ships, you get the Aqua Theater shows there as well. Also incredible night spots, the bars, the nightclubs, the karaoke, the Playmaker Sports Bar. It's an unbelievable array of entertainment options while you're on the ship. You need a vacation. Royal Caribbean is the boldest vacation choice you can make, so either contact your own travel advisor or get ready to reach out to our friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. Cruise and Vacation Authority can be found by dialing 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. That'll get you in touch with the Cruise and Vacation Authority. And by the way, when you reach them, let them know that you heard about them on Dog Nation Daily. We'd certainly really appreciate that. All right, let's get ready to talk about Cade Mays here for a moment. So shortly after it was announced that Jake Fromm was entering the NFL draft, there was an AL.com report by Matt Zenitz that Cade Mays was entering the transfer portal. And then shortly after that, Mark Schlabaugh, he was the first one I saw it from. You can never be sure who had these things first, but the first one I saw it from was Schlabaugh that Mays was getting ready to make the decision to go back to his hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee, and play for the Tennessee Vols, the school that he would almost certainly have gone to had it not been for what happened in the class of 2018. Butch Jones' departure from Tennessee, Mays' dad, a kind of a booster and a former Vols player, maybe dissatisfied with that situation. He ends up there in Athens, but he is now, I guess, reportedly going back to Tennessee. Then there's the weird thing, and I believe it was Rivals who was able to report this first, that Mays' dad is suing the University of Georgia for an incident that happened while on a visit to Athens with his son, where Mays' dad got part of his finger cut off with a chair. It's just the oddest, most random accident you can probably ever imagine, but it did lead to a need for surgical, I guess, repair, and he is now suing for that. Now, in the ensuing aftermath, what we find out, Chip Towers had a pretty good piece at the AJC where we find out that attorney Tom Mars has been secured here, and if your eyes roll by hearing Mars' name, I certainly understand that, probably with good reason. He believes that they have a very winnable case of getting immediate eligibility for Mays at Tennessee. Mars would later tell the Knoxville News Sentinel, critical of Georgia for what he called leaking the details of the Mr. Mays lawsuit as a, I guess, a despicable act on the part of UGA. So that's kind of where we are on all of this right now. Now, the one thing that I hope you know about Dog Nation Daily is we don't really say bad things about players, whether it be players on Georgia's team or players on somebody else's team. That's just not what we do. We take coaches to task because they make millions of dollars. We make fun of the other coaches because we assume they're going to be big enough to take it. For the most part, we don't make the players themselves the fodder for our barbs. And so in this particular case, I'm not going to really do that with Cade Mays either. However, I will tell you this. This story stinks to high heavens. And when it comes to like the lawsuit part of this, even though those details are the most salacious of all, the truth is, if you got your finger cut off and somebody's place of business, they probably are liable for that. I mean, I'm no lawyer, but I'm guessing that's a pretty cut and dry deal. Whether it be the manufacturer of the chair or the folks who bought the chair, that seems like a pretty cut and dry thing. So the most salacious detail on this is actually the least weird part of it. But the idea that Mays is going to leave Georgia, go to Tennessee, claim a hardship as his reason for why he should be playing for the Vols next season, I don't know how you define hardship there in that way. I mean, every time I saw Mays in Athens this year, he was seemingly always smiling, and he was certainly given plenty of opportunity to play. He started for Georgia at left tackle in the Sugar Bowl. He was kind of tabbed, at least in the immediate, as the replacement for Andrew Thomas, the most important player on the Georgia roster, arguably, for the last couple of seasons. So the idea that Mays had some sort of hardship, endured some sort of crisis while at Georgia, I don't know how you could define it that way. Now, listen, I've never been much of a stickler for the rules one way or another, so I can't quite tell you if Mays has much of a leg to stand on in terms of transferring within the SEC and what the precedent is for that. The honest truth is, I just don't know, and I hope that you know I respect all of you too much to pretend I know something when I don't. I have no idea if he'll be ruled eligible or not. I do think the climate in January of 2020 is a little bit different than it was in January of 19. I think that Justin Fields benefited from a real open era of transfers when he stepped into the void and tried to make his move to Ohio State. I think there was a real willingness at the time to grant as many transfers as possible, but somewhere along the way, that political will just kind of bent in the other direction, and guys like Luke Ford dealt with a much more difficult situation. But if you want to keep this to the Fields and Mays comparison for a moment, I mean, at least Justin Fields could say, well, there's nowhere for me at Georgia to play. They have seemingly chosen from over me. And that may be a justifiable reason in your mind to transfer or not, but at least it's something. In this case for Mays, it just sort of seems like that he's gotten his feelings hurt because Sam Pittman's not there anymore. And I'm sure there are a million other details that I don't know. But this is not what I want college football to be. And as I said before, I'm not going to criticize Mays for this in particular because I think he's simply just trying to leverage what he thinks is the current atmosphere around the sport. But if this is what college football has become, and you can okay boomer me on this if you want to, even though I'm many decades younger than the typical baby boomer, but you can okay boomer me on this if you want to. But if this is what college football has become, then the sport is worse than it used to be. And I think that's unquestionably true. And frankly, if you're Georgia, I think once again, there's responsibility to figure, what are you going to do about this? I mean, it's one thing to celebrate a five-star offensive lineman from one of your rivals' backyards. And it's easy in that moment when Mays comes here to flex and say, oh, look what we did to Tennessee. And this is how big and bad the recruiting behemoth for Georgia is. When you do the same thing for Channing Tindall out of Columbia, South Carolina, and try to do that with Jordan Burch. And, you know, kind of on and on you go with these big recruiting wins, national landscape from what appears to be the heart of enemy territory. That can feel really good at the time. But the obvious question you have to ask yourself is, if all of that results in someone who just vaporizes and disappears from the program the moment any degree of adversity strikes, then what's the point of those recruiting wins? What do you get from these guys if you don't have any reasonable chance to keep them? Now, in this case, I don't know that Georgia made any kind of egregious error on Mays. I think it could be just the victim of kind of an odd evolution of thought processes around the sport. But if this is the way that college football is, then I think that Georgia has got a responsibility to decide what it wants to be within the parameters of the new thought processes in this sport. And I think that what that leads me to say is that one of the most important questions to ask prospective recruits for the class of 2021, and hopefully was asked for the class of 2020, you can go national with your recruiting if you want to. You can go deep in the heart of enemy territory if you want to. But do those guys really want to be at Georgia? Or is Georgia just the convenient choice for them right now? I think that's a really important question to ask. And I got to tell you, to the extent that I can control any narrative here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp, one of the things that I'm going to be pushing to talk about more this year and in future years when we talk about recruiting is, how much does this player love Georgia? Does he love a position coach that we can't even guarantee is going to be around UGA for more than a couple of years? Or does he love the soil on which the university rests? Does he love the pageantry and the history and the tradition of this program? Doesn't mean every player you pull has to be from the state of Georgia, but when you have a dearth of guys from your state, I think it increases the likelihood that you have nothing more than a transactional relationship with the guys in your roster. And that's something I think that Georgia probably needs to work on in the future. All right, so weird news, but there will be better days ahead. The Mays thing is just odd. I'm critical of the sport overall for how this plays out, the fact that he would even feel emboldened to try a Cavalier move like this. And the Fromm thing sort of is what it is. A lot of happy memories with kind of a bittersweet ending. But one way or another, we wish Fromm well as he moves on the NFL. We certainly look forward to the way that Georgia responds to the needs that are out there for it right now. I think this quarterback competition is going to be fascinating. I think the news of graduate transfers coming into the program is just going to be a... It's going to be a really cool thing to be able to see. And I'll also say this as well. I think it can be easily lost in the midst of who Georgia is no longer going to have on its roster, who is still here. And I think over the course of the next couple of days, one of the things we're going to highlight, some of the guys that have chosen to remain at Georgia, just how valuable they truly might be. And by the way, lousy stinking Gators, still been 1,167 days since y'all have beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp.